awesome.
That's great. You lying, you awesome, that's great. Thank you, Donna. Recently had to get a new charger for my laptop. My other one had been wore out, so I'm like, man, I needed a new one to make it work. And you want to take a chance of the battery dying on me. And they went home to print out my last thing, and the printer said, oh, you need some ink, so I didn't have that either. So that's why I have my laptop this morning. Take a seat here. I wanted to share something with you guys this morning. We're going to be talking about having a character study. I'm going to be doing Daniel. But I also want to share a book I picked up called Attitude is a Choice. So pick a good one.
Yes, right.
So it's by Bob Phillips. I was like, it's just practical steps to a positive outlook. You know, we all battle with negative thoughts, some of us more than others.
Yeah.
But then I'm always like, this is good. So, you know, attitude is a choice. And I always think about my mom when I talk to her. She says, son, it's all about choice.
Yeah.
You can choose to be happy or you can choose to be sad. It's up to you. And so I thought it was a good book. I would recommend to share everybody. So if you get a chance to see it, attitude is a good choice.
Yes.
Man, attitude is a choice, so pick a good one. So wanted to bring that share with you guys there. Daniel. Talk about Daniel. One of the unique things about Daniel is, I should say about the situation, is that we just finished up the book of Ezra about the tribe, I should say, the kingdom of Judah, which Israel resided in. They were leaving after 70 years of captivity. And the part that I'm talking about is actually when Daniel has just been captured. They've just been captured, and they're going into captivity.
Right.
I thought that was unique. I was like, they're going into captivity. One of the unique things about that is Daniel never left with them when they left for the 7 years. He actually ended up staying. It says recorded that he never left with them when they left. I guess, Daniel decided to stay or felt that it was good to stay, but he served in the King Nebuchadnezzar for 60 years in a high position, which I thought was unique and a blessing from God. But I also want to give you kind of a little background on Daniel's story. So Daniel's story takes place 600 BC before Christ. He was one of many Israelites who occupied the kingdom of Judah at the time and were captured, brought back to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Daniel is a great example of how to stay true to your conviction under challenging circumstances. The Normans and the Dockers are facing some challenging circumstances currently. You too are facing some challenging circumstances. But the question is for all of us, will you stay true to your conviction during challenging times? That's the question. And this is the thing that Daniel was faced with, staying true to his conviction during challenging times. And ask yourself, how strong do you want to hold on to your convictions, to your faith? What character trait does it take to be true and to hold on? Now, after Daniel was captured, King Nebuchadnezzar thought that there may be some young people among the Israelites who could be groomed and trained to serve him. Daniel, along with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, were chosen. After being chosen, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to eat the royal food and drink the royal wine. But Daniel refused to eat or drink the royal wine. The question is why? Well, we're going to pick up reading Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. It's going to be a long read here, but we're going to go through it.
Okay.
It says, chapter 1, verse 1 of Daniel. Check on screen in case you need it. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put it in the treasure house of his God. I don't know if y'all guys remember from Ezra, but when King Cyrus released him, what did he send with him? Everything that King Nebuchadnezzar just captured him. It's amazing. If you kind of put the dots together, the very thing that King Nebuchadnezzar captured, God also sent it with him to release them out of exile. It says, verse 3 says, the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. I don't know if you know some correlation there. It's amazing that if you look at scripture, put it together. Jesus walked among his disciples for 5 years, 3 years.
That's right.
Training for 3 years. It's just things that stick out, little nuggets that stick out in there.
Right.
It just shows you that how even worldly men thought that people should be trained for 3 years before they could go into service. Verse 6 says, among those who were chosen were some from Judah. It says Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my Lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetable to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servant in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Wow. There's a lot here.
Yes. Yes.
So why did Daniel refuse the food? You know, I do believe that a lot of us would look a lot better if we were forced to eat vegetables and drink water. Yeah. We have the freedom to choose. Yeah. We say it sound good, but we have the freedom to choose. It's hard to hold to it. Mm-hmm. But why did Daniel refuse? Because it violated Jewish dietary laws. Kosher laws particularly. And potentially could involve food offered to idols. But most of all, because his devotion to God. Let's take a closer look at his character trait called devotion and how it should look in your life. Devotion is a strong commitment and loyalty to a person, cause, or belief. Devotion can manifest as dedication, faithfulness, and steadfastness in one's action and belief. Why devotion is considered a character trait? Commitment and loyalty. Devotion implies a deep-seated commitment, moral compass. You know, devotion, I look at this, when I think about devotion, I was thinking about myself, and you should think about yourself too, but devotion, I think about it, just being devoted to God. Devotion should always begin with the one who created and gave us life.
That's right.
The word of God.
That's right.
Next, it should be devotion to your family. That's next in line. Mm-hmm. Devotion to family.
Yeah.
And if you're married, that's your spouse. After your spouse, it's your kids. And then the devotion to the church. And then the devotion to anything else outside of that. But they should see your devotion. Mm-hmm. They should see your example of loyalty and how you are committed to their best interests. You know, think about one of the positive traits I was sharing. I think I shared with Donald Richard. You know, devotion shows up in many ways. I think I'm sharing with Zoom too about, you know, just kind of getting with my situation with Sharice and the situation with, you know, Zoom's brother and thing. We all have challenges, but everybody needs a steady in their life. You need somebody who's steady. Because things happen in life. But you need a person who's steady through the whole thing. You do. Mm-hmm. I always look at my situation, and I appreciate everybody tends to ask about my adult kids, because, you know, what's happening, it affects them. But can you imagine mom's down and dad goes down? What does that do? Mm-hmm. What does that do to a young person or an older person? To them, like, everything's crashing.
Right.
Everything's crashing. Why is nobody helping? But devotion requires you to be steady in all circumstances. You know, I was talking to Scott was talking about that, I think, last Sunday. And I have to say this, and Scott had reminded me. Scott said, yeah, Sharice needs an advocate. She needs an advocate. Zuma, brother, needs an advocate. Needs an advocate. During this time where Zuma is dealing with her brother, her advocate is Donald. Needs an advocate. We all need to be advocate to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And as an advocate, we need to show great devotion to what they're going through. Devotion is a character trait that we need to embrace. Devotion is also defined as a character who is fiercely loyal to their friends, even in difficult situations. We all know the song that says, I am a friend of God. Are you fiercely loyal to your ultimate friend, who just happens to be God? Are you fiercely loyal, fiercely devoted to God, who is the ultimate friend? Do you have unwavering devotion to God? So let's look a little bit more at Daniel in this situation. Let's take a closer look at Daniel's devotion to God and why he refused. I mentioned earlier Jewish dietary laws. Daniel, as a Jew, followed specific dietary laws outlined in the Torah, Old Testament. These laws dictate which animals were considered clean and unclean for consumption, as well as how meat should be prepared and handled. Can you imagine you're inside of another kingdom's court and they're offering you all of this food? Man, there was a great reason to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
God knows if he's making a nice steak and got butter garlic on it.
Yeah.
Man, fried chicken cooking through the air. God forbid you love a good fish fry. Everything. You've been chosen to serve this king, and everything is at your disposal. Mm-hmm. But you have a choice to make. Does my devotion to this new king supersede my devotion to God? Mm-hmm. Or does my devotion to God trump this new king? My devotion to this new king? But Daniel showed the example, like, I will be devoted. I will be fiercely devoted to God, no matter what is put before me. No matter what things put before me that may say, hey, we can compromise. It's okay. A little will hurt. Daniel chose to say, no, I will not do that. He was fiercely loyal in that devotion. Potential defilement. I mentioned about this earlier. Daniel believed that consuming the king's food, which likely included items forbidden by Jewish law, could defile him, making him unclean in God's eyes. It was no secret that King Nebuchadnezzar sacrificed foods to his God, which was not the God. Daniel took note of that. He was very aware of that. A lot of times we are aware of things. You should ask yourself, when I'm aware of a situation that goes against God, do I compromise and still indulge in it? You know, it's like, man.
Yeah.
You know, and once you compromise, indulge in it, your next stage is what? Well, let me justify why I did this.
Oh.
I've got a good excuse for this. I've got a good reason for this. And I've learned in my life that it's easy for me to present a good excuse or justification front with you think like, okay, yeah, they're just a man, another woman, what they gonna do? But the Holy Spirit reminds me, you know, someday you'll be set before God and that's not gonna fly. If you know it's not gonna fly before the Father then, what makes you think it flies before God now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Devotion means you gotta stay true to your convictions. Mm-hmm. You gotta embrace that conduct, that you gotta embrace that character trait, regardless of what is put before you. Daniel says a great example of that. And Daniel gave options. Idol worship, he says, it's also possible that the food may have been offered to idols before being served, which would have been unacceptable for a devout Jew like Daniel. Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself a devout Christian, a devout disciple? You know, if you're devout, I mean, you're sold out, ain't you? Mm-hmm. You sold out. I mean, you think about it. Daniel sets the example, I'm devout to God, that's it. Not only did he refuse, but of course Daniel comes over to play. You know, maintaining faith, Daniel's refusal was a conscious decision to uphold his belief in God and not compromise his faith, even in a foreign and potentially hostile environment. Nobody likes a hostile environment.
No.
Nobody likes to be uncomfortable.
No.
No, sir. I don't know if that's yourself. If I was put in an uncomfortable position, would I be that person who give up everything? Will I sell you out, give up everything? Hey, look, hey, don't look. Hey, he did it, she did it, you can have it. Would I do that? Or would I stay true to my conviction? Mm-hmm. Would that famous character trait of being devoted really show up in me that, hey, nah, man, you can do whatever you want to do to me. I'm so done for God. Would I imitate my Lord and Savior? I really imitate him. Even if it meant being punished, mistreated, abused, slighted, even death, am I that devoted? A 10-day test. You know, Daniel realized what he was faced with. He could have been killed. He also knew the guy who was assigned to feed him could have been killed. And so what Daniel did, Daniel said, I got a plan that's going to save your life and my life. Let's just see what happens. And Daniel says, if it doesn't work out, then what? I will eat the food. That's it. Daniel proposed a 10-day trial where he and his companions would eat only vegetables and water, while others ate the king's food. The result was that Daniel and his friends appeared healthier and stronger, demonstrating the power of their faith and the potential benefits of their chosen diet. Mm-hmm. His devotion to God produced amazing results. Y'all think we can do a 10-day trial? Y'all think we can do that vegetable water for 10 days? How many days do you think it'll last? What do you think you got in the sky?
I don't know. I love bacon. 10 days.
But you went bacon, did that, Lord? I mean, you think of what you got in? What do you think you got enough to go like 10 days?
Yeah.
Well, if you have curry in there and a little bit of cilantro.
Yes.
It can make it palatable.
That ain't the same thing, yeah.
Scott's going to be the first to go. What about the fifth thing? You have to step YouTube. Get step all the cooking videos. You know, when you decide to fast or you decide to cut something back, I think it's planned. But all your foods happen to pop up on every social screen you see. And it just shows up. You're like, it's where you think about the food. It's there. If you say I'm going to drink water, every drink that you like pops up. Mm-hmm. I can say it's the devil. I can say the Lord said, let's just see what he got. They're my people. They're going to do it. Let me support them. Let me see what they got. But you know, that 10-day trial, Daniel proved to be right. Mm-hmm. See, they were healthier and stronger. Makes you wonder what everybody else was eating. One thing we eat the things that we complain about that makes us unhealthy. One thing was chemical products back then. You know? I don't know. But he said that they looked healthier and stronger than the people who ate all the royal food at their disposal. Right. Right. And all Daniel had was vegetables and water. Wow, his devotion to God produce the major results. So here's a couple of things here. You know, your display of devotion can inspire people to imitate you. Did you ever think about that?
That's right.
Did you ever think about that? Your display of devotion can inspire people to imitate you. Your display of devotion to family can inspire people to build a strong, caring, God-fearing family. Your display of devotion to a friend can inspire people to build an intimate relationship like David and Jonathan in the Bible. Your display of devotion to God can inspire people to follow Christ and make the Word of God their standard. So here's a question for us to discuss here real quick before we wrap up here. So what should we learn from Daniel's devotion to God? The floor is open. So what should we learn from Daniel's devotion to God?
I think we need to realize that people are always watching.
Yeah.
Say it loud. No, it's not. Say it out loud.
Say it loud again.
I just want to say that, you know, one thing, he proved a point to God that he didn't train him, deter him. He released the food.
What did you say?
He stood firm.
I said that what we learned from Daniel's example is that people are watching.
That is true. Yeah.
You know that all the other young men who went into service, you know, into this 3-year training, it wasn't just those four. It was from other countries that they all watched and saw that Daniel and the other three only ate the vegetables, that they didn't eat the meat.
Right.
And their example, I'm sure, made a difference to some.
Yeah. I think also, too, is remember scriptures as far as what God says, because one of the, you know, in verse 9, he says, now God has caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. And so, you know, where God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that's something that we should try to always remember in times of hardship. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt, or you're not going to be emotional about certain things, but God is not out of the picture in your pain or discomfort.
Just what she was saying, that you know, when you do make that decision, I mean, you don't have to, you know, be rebellious and just being, you know, obnoxious to the powers that be, but as long as you're standing firm, you know, God will, you know, get you through those situations that could be life and death. You know, we tend to look at those powerful people and, you know, see what physical things that they could do to us, you know, whether it's thrown in jail or killing us or whatever. But that shows us that, you know, God's not going to let that happen.
Yeah.
You know, even just like with when they tried to stone Jesus, they came after him and he disappeared through the crowd, you know, and the same God that did that is here. You know, getting us through those times as well.
Yeah. But being devoted to God means that you're not necessarily going to be popular. Many times you're going to be unpopular.
Yeah.
And I just think about that movie Hacksaw Ridge, you know, where the gentleman, he didn't want to pick up a weapon towards anybody, and how he was treated. And because he was devoted to, you know, his faith.
I think also just recognizing that we're making intentional choices in these situations that can form our godly character. character and or diminish it, you know, and certainly if you make the wrong choice, there's an opportunity for repentance and, you know, mm-hmm. getting back on track. But I think, you know, when I read this passage, this chapter before, the commentators say Daniel was in his teens at this time.
Yeah.
And he was making these decisions as a very young man that would later shape his character in even more important ways when he had higher level positions. So he was setting a foundation for trusting God and standing firm in his convictions to the end.
Sort of in line with what Nora was saying about you didn't have to be rude or anything. Mm-hmm. The word that came to my mind was arrogant. I know that especially when I was a younger disciple, anybody who didn't believe the way I did, I scoffed at them. I was arrogant, and it was deleterious. It was it had bad effects on my reaching out to people.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel, even at a young age, he had the humility to ask permission, and when that failed, he stayed humble and said, well, just try it for 10 days. And had he insisted, then he'd have to make a choice between eating and dying.
Yeah. You know, because of that choice that he made, it's amazing how much success he went on to have serving up for the kingdom. I think how God blessed him. You know, he was able to see visions and dreams. You know, and said that his education basically was 10 times greater than anybody else, which I thought was amazing and remarkable. Now, I don't want you to go thinking like, when I was a young man, thinking like this. Don't you think like, oh man, let me just get right and be so super devoted and God's going to make me 10 times greater. I think that's just the wrong heart, that approach. The heart should already be there. It's kind of like, quite a few brothers read the same way about Solomon. They said, Solomon asked for wisdom and God made him rich. Everybody like, okay, Lord, give me wisdom. You know, your heart's not in the right place. But what God wants is that devotion. He wants that devotion from you. That character trait should always show in your character. Mm-hmm. No matter where you are, who you with, whether you're in church or out of the world, it should always show that that man there is devoted to God.
Yeah.
I've been at Methodist Rehab with Sharice always. And, you know, this is my conviction. Everybody's not in a position where I'm able to have a job, flexible, to be there. So I take advantage of that. I was talking to a nurse last night, and she's like, you know, basically, I'm like, you're here, I heard that you'd be here a lot. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, I could be doing anything, but I'm devoted to my wife. I believe in the vow for in sickness and health, and for better or worse. So if she's staying here, I'm staying here. That's just it. That's an example of being totally devoted and sold out to someone. That's what devotion should look like. If you're in a position where you can do that, you need to be there. God is saying, hey, if you're devoted to me, you need to always be there. You need to always be showing up.
Yeah.
Whether you're verbally doing something or you're just out there and all of a sudden there's something you need to do to help somebody, whatever. Your devotion to me should be reflected in your character.
Amen.
That's something we need to look at.
Right.
Finally, in close, before we take communion, I read this last thing. It says, this will inspire you guys with something. Your devotion has the power to inspire, change lives, and bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, your devotion is important. Mm-hmm. And it can just impact everybody in this world. Something I read, and it says, you come into this world with nothing, you chase everything, and you leave with nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, you come into this world with nothing, and if you make a decision to chase God, you leave with eternity to be
right.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Be devoted to God.
Right.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to look at Daniel's amazing life, Father, and just